Good evening. Welcome. Come on in, sit down, and get ready to enjoy yourself. Yes, ma'am. Happy to enjoy myself. Hi, gorgeous. How are you? You look good. You ready for next week? I can't wait. I have thought about you so much about that trip. I don't know why. Yeah, I have thought of you on that trip with me so many times. It's going to be, yeah, I know you are. I'm excited. How was dinner? Mine was awesome. What dinner? Well, sometimes it's good to fast. Seriously, sometimes it's good to fast. Yeah. I had a salad that we made. Joseph. Hi. I didn't know you were here. Were you here earlier today? Did you just say you're not telling me? I had a spectacular dinner. But you should have seen what I had for lunch. Because I made it. It was really good. I made a fish with a bunch of vegetables all sauteed together, first in ghee and then with miso, organic miso, and tahini. So all sauteed together with onions and garlic and broccoli and carrots and kale and celery. It was yummy. Gave me energy for the day. How are you? I don't know about you, but today was really smooth. I felt like today it was just like, seriously, like a hot knife on butter. Like just like so smooth. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about us. Do you know what I mean? I'm saying us, how we worked together today, I thought was... went really well. Okay, well, there's still people kind of coming in. They're late. We'll talk about you tomorrow. Tonight we're going to have an acoustic set, which I'm excited. We have this wonderful man from Canada and Issa, who has been nursing a virus and is at the very tail end of it. And so we're going to pray that she can bless us with her outrageous voice, because she has just an amazing gift. And she travels around the world with this gift, and she uses her gift to raise money to build houses for the extreme poor and to care for the orphan and the sick and the widow. So far this year, she's raised $32,000 with the help of some faithful fans of hers. She just finished a benefit concert in California, and that benefit concert made enough money to pay for one house for the extreme poor, which was really awesome. I got to see her at that concert and move it in her gift, and she brought a bunch of different musicians, and it was a wonderful hot day and a wonderful hot gift that she has to sing in that hot summer night in Northern California where there's no water. But anyway... We're glad to be home in Texas where it's hot, but there's water. But for those of you that have never been here, you don't know anything about my background, we're first going to start with on the part-time part of my life. I'm a mom of five. I have seven children. I have a couple of companies, plus a few other things that I do on the side. And 100% of my business is dedicated to the poor, and I don't take a salary, and I don't make any money from that business at all. And that's personally my preference. The man who does the books is sitting right here. Wave, Joseph. Does Danny Johnson get a salary? She gets no salary. Do I take bonuses? Never. And do I take any profits? No. So he can tell you that 100% of the profits goes straight to the poor. For everything for Destiny Global, that's the name of our company, because we believe that everyone has a destiny around the globe. But on the little part-time thing, because I'm a full-time mom and wife, that's really my full-time job, taking care of a house filled with people and feeding people and doing a lot of laundry and things of that nature. But on the side, I'm a business consultant. I have a radio and television show. I write books with the help of a team of amazing people. But this little tiny part-time thing that I do, I'm also a minister. I'm an ordained minister, which means nothing that other than I have a plaque on my wall that says I can legally bury you and marry you. So I do a lot of weddings. Unfortunately, I've done too many funerals. The weddings are much funner than the funerals, by far. Although, yeah, no, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And a lot of baptisms. I've had the beautiful privilege of baptizing thousands and thousands and thousands of people from all over the world. In fact, September, I think the 13th, we'll be baptizing about 70-plus people in the Jordan River right in Israel. So, there's a bunch of people who are here that are going to be on that trip. So anyway, so baptisms and baby dedications. And so oftentimes here at First Steps to Success, our clients have met each other here, or they had received just incredible healing or blessing or something like that and decided to have babies or couldn't have babies and miraculously were able to conceive a child, things of that nature. So we've been asked tonight to do a baby dedication. It doesn't happen all the time, but it's been happening a lot lately. So we're going to first start with that baby dedication, and basically a baby dedication is mom and dad saying that they're going to train up their children in the way of wisdom, the wisdom of the Lord. And so I don't know if you know who the Lord is, but that's okay if you don't. You're about to learn about it. And please don't take your ideas from before about the Lord, because that could mess the whole thing up. But just keep an open mind. All that's happening here is mom and dad are saying, we have a plan to raise our kid. And we're not just going to give birth and hope for the best. We're not going to raise our kids according to the way everyone else raises their kids. We want to raise our kids to be moral people. We want to raise our kids to make wise decisions. We want them to treat people well. We want them to honor and respect us. We want to teach our kids to honor and respect other humans. We want them to be hardworking. We want them to be smart with money. We want them to make wise decisions with picking a mate. Wise health decisions. That's what mom and dad are saying. That they're saying, we're dedicating our kid to you, God. We want to raise our kid according to your ways, according to your manuscript, according to your owner's manual, because really that's what the Bible is. It's an owner's manual on how to live your life. And so really it's a commitment that mom and dad are making. And so if we can have Dominic's parents bring him up, that would be awesome. Wherever you are, Dominic, and your parents. Dominic's like, I'm out of here. Oh, what a handsome little one. And his mama. Hi, handsome. Hi. Check you out, man. Give me. He's talking. Thing works.
Disney.
Hi. I already have one.
This is Disney. This is Disney. Disney. Disney.
Go ahead, hand it to mommy.
Disney.
I'm not done. Here you go. You know how to say that. Here you go. Jasmine.
Yes.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Proud of you. How old is your son?
He's 3 years old.
He's huge. I have a 3-year-old grandson. This is huge.
God answered my prayer. I wanted a 6-foot son.
You want a 6-foot son? You're going to have one of those, I'm pretty sure. Wow.
Okay, bye. He's huge. Grandson. Okay.
So, why do you want to do this tonight?
A lot of you know my story, raising him up as a young single mom. I was lost before coming here. I was lost for a very long time. I didn't know how I was going to do this on my own. plenty of times I felt like I wanted to give up. But then coming here, God opened so many doors and so much love from everyone here. Never experienced that outside of being at this event. When I was pregnant with him, I was judged a lot. But God has been working so many ways in my family and in William. And even though there's differences between me and his father, I know that, you know, we both have the same purpose, that we both want to raise him to be a man. And I definitely want to raise him to be the man that God has called him to be.
Amen.
I know I can't do it alone without him. So I definitely wanted to come here to truly dedicate my son to God.
Amen.
To have him grow up to become the man that he's called for.
So for those of us that don't know the story.
Prior to coming to Danny, I battled depression very bad. Growing up, I didn't have a childhood. I was molested at a very young age. I have no memory without being molested. I grew up thinking that I was just a mistake, that I was just put here just to go through a lot of pain, and there's just nothing else besides that. Since coming here, I used to hate it when people gave me compliments. I never thought I was called for a greater purpose, and especially being a mom, I didn't plan that either, but I rededicated my life. I've forgiven my molester.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
I know it's only going up here for me and my family, especially for William. For the first time, I've felt a family who loves me, who continuously pray for me and pray for William.
Amen.
You definitely don't meet anyone like you do here at all. And I'm just really excited to see what God has for me and my son.
Wherever he went. What are you doing? He just says. Awesome. Well, William, great name that you named your boy. Yes, ma'am. Say yes, ma'am. You can kill the mic so that he will not do that anymore. No, not you. They can do it over there. Thank you. William means resolute, determined protector, strong helmet. That's what William means. Dominic, who I'm so sorry, I called him by his middle name. Dominant, belonging to God. That's an amazing choice. What a beautiful name you picked for your boy. Can I have that, handsome? Your mom picked the name. Can I have that, please? Can I have it, please? Give it back. That's exactly what I'm saying. Give it back. So as I said earlier, a dedication is mom saying that she is going, mom saying that she's going to raise this boy according to the ways of God. And you know what you said about the people here, really blesses me because I was once just like you, right? Young mom, teenage mom is what I was. Part of every statistic, you know. And you met the Redeemer. You met the Redeemer, and he surrounded you with people in this community that know the Redeemer, and they have no place to judge because they know who they were and who they weren't before him. And so I'm really proud of you for taking the courage to publicly say, I'm going to raise my son this way. And part of a dedication is a community saying, we want to serve you. We want to help you. We want to encourage you. This is a single mom of a son. Do any of you have sons? Who has sons? You know exactly what I'm talking about. God gave sons an extra dose of energy. When I had my son Cabe, the Lord had showed me, because Cabe was like this, so different than Erica, who was so compliant and so easy. And then there was Cabe, who was like, gonna dominate everything. And I was just like, oh my gosh, how do I do this? And I was crying out to the Lord because I felt so lost and confused. I didn't have someone to teach me how to do this. And the Lord had showed me. He's a boy to be a man. And a man is designed to rule, reign, and dominate. To have dominion over what I've set them over. And I went, awesome! Okay! I can't squish that. I can't squelch that. I have to celebrate that and teach him how to use that for good instead of for destruction. And so it's not an easy job being a mom, number one. It's not an easy job being a single mom, number two. It's not an easy job being a single mom of a son, number three. This is a job that he called you to. And I literally see blogs coming out of you. I see writing coming out of you, writing about the journey of being a single mom and raising a son and doing it under the ways of God, where you choose to be in harmony with the Father, even though there's not a marriage. You choose to honor his Father, and you choose to honor your son, and that you choose to lift up his Father to him, because part of his identity really is sealed in who his Father is. And the bottom line is that when moms put down who the son's father is, the son feels stolen from and rejected. And so you're saying, I'm not going to speak death over his father. I'm not going to speak death over him. I'm not going to speak the death that was spoken over me. I'm going to speak life. I'm going to encourage. I'm going to edify. And I'm going to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. And that is honorable. And I believe that God's going to give you the grace for that. So I believe that there's a place in our society for that to be journaled, for that to be talked about, for that example to be set. And I believe that there's a need for it. There's single moms just like you who are young, who are traversing this land of single motherhood. And I believe that you are not going to walk in the ways of single motherhood, that you're going to set a new precedence for it, that it's not going to be that, oh, I'm a single mom, so I can't do this. I'm a single mom, that's why they judge me. I'm a single mom, that's why I can't go there. No, that's not going to be it. You're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. And that's the example that you're going to set. You're going to trailblaze this single motherhood. You're going to trailblaze redemption. You're going to trailblaze reconciliation. You're going to trailblaze boldly loving your God in the face of other people that call themselves religious, in the face of those people that want to walk in judgment. You're going to walk with the presence of God on you, fully redeemed, knowing that he is the one that has qualified you, that he is the one that has chosen you, that he is the one that picked you to be the mother of this child, and that he is not ashamed of you, and he is not disappointed in you, and he's not dissatisfied with you, but that you know that you are a daughter in whom he is well pleased, and he is a son in whom he is well pleased, and that you are not defined by church, you're not defined by the people in a building, you're not defined by anything but the Most High God, who looks upon you when he sees the beauty that you bring to him. He is pleased with who you are. He's pleased with what you've allowed to have happen in your heart. By him and only by his hand did he touch your heart and give you a new heart that you could forgive, that you could release. And that's the life that you're going to live as an example to your son. A life of release. A life of forgiveness. Therefore, a life of redemption and reconciliation. That's what you're going to bring into the family. That's what you're going to bring into other people's families. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this beautiful mother. I thank you, Lord God Almighty, for this beautiful son. God, I thank you that you've chosen her for such a time as this. I thank you for how you've molded her. I thank you for how you chose to knit this boy inside of her womb. I thank you, Father, that you've qualified her, that you've picked her, that you've raised her up. Father, I thank you for how you've given her the personality that you've given her. And I praise you for her past. I thank you for the past. I thank you for every single chapter in her past. And I thank you for every chapter that is inside of her future. I thank you, Father God, that she will lead other single mothers into what is right, noble, pure, praiseworthy. I thank you, Lord God Almighty, that there will be other women that will be set free, healed, and delivered from their accusers and from their violators. But that, Lord, she'd be one that would stand for truth and wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And I pull out every dagger that's ever been thrown at her. I take off every single mindset that doesn't belong, that doesn't line up with the word of the living God. And I bless you, my sister. I bless you as a mother would bless a daughter. And I say yes and amen to the promises of God upon your life. I say yes to the creativity that's in you. I say yes to the bold voice that you have. I say yes to an open heart that is willing to receive love and willing to give love and to give it freely. Yes. And Father, we dedicate this boy in the name of Jesus, which is Yeshua, the Messiah. We dedicate him to you, God. This is her saying, Lord, he is yours. I can't do this by myself, but I'm saying I'm going to be willing to do it according to your ways. Father, I thank you that he's fiery. I thank you, Lord God, that his word, even his name even has dominion in it. Father, I thank you that you have chosen him to be a part of a family, God, that will bless him, the extended family, the internal family, every single part of it. I pray for an awesome relationship with his earthly father, but more importantly, I pray for a unique, awesome relationship with you, his true father, his father in heaven, Abba, that he cries out, Abba, daddy, 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 and that he knows you in that way. Father, we seal his identity in the Messiah, that he is cleansed, washed, purified, sealed by the blood, the Dama Ve Yeshua, Lord, that he is sealed by the blood of the Messiah. Father, cleansed, perfectly purified in every way, both of them together, including the father of this child. Father, I pray that he knows you in a unique way. I also thank you for the prophetic gifting that is upon him, that he'll be a trumpet for you, Lord, that he'll speak truth and he'll speak it boldly, just like his mom. God, that he will stand for what his mother stands for, which is you. Yes. And Father, I thank you for the strength and honor that you've chosen to put on top of this young one. Father, and I thank you for the days that are ahead. I thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do inside of these two, including the father that helped to bring this one in the world. In the name of Jesus, I bless him. Amen. I'm sick. Probably shouldn't have it. Yeah. I don't want to give it to him. So, Mama, here you go. That's for you to sign. Can you give me five? William, can you give it up here? What about you? Up here. Up here. Right here. I'm done with that game. These are for you. You can put that on the wall in his room.
Oh, you're good. I've got a friend like you. Awesome.
Bless you. Okay, so now this is Issa. Issa Agape. Yes. You will surely enjoy her gifting. Yes, it's a powerful gift. It's amazing because she's a singer, a songwriter. She has 6 albums. She's in the midst of writing a collaborative album with a bunch of different artists from all over the place. She has a personal story herself. She's paid off $207,000 worth of debt. She's completely debt-free. Yep. She has been running with us going on 10 years this December. November 10 years ago is when Issa and I, when God brought the two of us together. This is my baby. This is one of my daughters. I literally feel like I birthed her with the midnight feedings. The 2-year-old temper tantrums, the thundering 3s, those wonderful adolescent years, it all, and then of course the 20s, those were fun too. Literally, and we've traveled the world together It's been amazing watching this woman grow and be transformed into who she is today, one that would not smile 10 years ago at anything. For 2 years, we worked on just smile. But God has healed her of a tremendous amount of things, and her music is so powerful. The lyrics are like words that are locked up inside of our hearts that we wished we knew what to say. She kind of pulls those words out of you. You know what I mean? Like there's something locked up in here, and it's your gift. It just causes the words that were locked up inside of her as she brings them forth. It's like there's just so much that you can identify with the lyrics to her music. So if you enjoy her music tonight, you can take her home with you and enjoy it. She's got obviously we're having acoustic tonight. Sometimes we have a huge full band, but tonight we have an acoustic set. And so I don't know how many of you sometimes need something mellow in your life, peace in your life. Yes, feel like you're being washed over with something good in your life. This is that. So I know that you're going to enjoy it. So just like with any music, you know, at any kind of a concert, some people enjoy dancing. If that's what you want to do, it's a concert. Knock yourself out. If you like to stand and sway, knock yourself out. You can do that here. There's no rules. There's only one, actually, I should say. There's only one rule here, and that is that you keep your clothes on. That's the only rule. Okay, we are in the United States of America. People are just not quite used to that kind of thing. But yeah, so I mean, some people like to shout. Some people like to lay out on the floor. Some people like to come right up near the stage because that's where there seems to be a lot of energy. We just want to invite you to enjoy however way you enjoy when you experience music that kind of moves your heart. We want you to have that freedom to just do what you feel most comfortable. Please don't like try to put some religious thing on top of you because it's really not welcome here. We just rather just be free and listen to some great music. And then we've got that teaching, five weapons that we're going to put in your hand to obliterate opposition. So if you want to come more close to the stage, go for it. What we do ask is please honor the people that are really doing a hard thing, and that's getting up in front of you to sing. Do you understand? So honor them by not having conversations in the back of the room. Let's just enjoy the music. God, that's undeniable. Your love is so strong. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for overwhelming us with your unfailing love. Thank you that you are our sustainer. You are the all-sufficient one, El Shaddai. You are our provider, our protector. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us right here in downtown San Antonio at a Hyatt Hotel. Thank you, Lord, for that strong love, that crazy, crazy love. It's not like a man's love, not like a woman's love, not a human love, not even like a child's love. Your love is so amazing to me. Lord, that you would save a wretch like me. Lord, that you would save a filthy, disgusting person like me. God, that you would give us a chance at a different life. That you would give us a chance to not stay the same. I thank you, Lord, that you make every crooked way straight. Lord, I thank you that you make all things new. You, the great and mighty Lord, whose name is Yahweh. Yahweh, you're awesome. There's no one like you. There's no one like you. Never will be. Never has been. Yahweh, I declare your name in this place. You're awesome. Thank you for being my father. loving me, loving my friends, my family. Thank you for giving all of us chances. Thank you for bringing all of us together. Thank you for allowing us to be in this place together. Thank you for the gift that's on these two lives. Thank you, Lord, for that sweet, sweet spirit that's inside of them. God, I pray that you bless them for blessing us, that you multiply their gifting, you multiply even their finances, you multiply the doors in which you will open for them. Yeah. Oh, you are awesome. Thank you, Lord, for sustaining Issa's voice. How awesome. How awesome. Yes. So, Lord, bless our time here tonight and help you are the teacher. We need your help. I can't teach anything. I'm just a frail, weak, wicked woman. Without you, I can't do anything right. Without you, my tongue is wild. Oh, Lord, you teach us. You guide us. You lead us across that bridge into being an overcomer. Help us to overcome the opposition. Help us to discern what opposition is intended for us to train us and what opposition comes from the hand of the enemy that should not be allowed in our lives. Give us wisdom to hear your voice, to see your word, to feel your truth, and to walk in that truth. Set every captive including me. Reveal to us, Lord, the things in us that gotta change so we may surrender to you and you be the one that changes it. Yeah, I release over this place a spirit of wisdom, according to the book of Isaiah. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, might, counsel, wise counsel. Yes. I release the fear of Yahweh in this place, the fear of Almighty God, the fear of the Creator, fear in terms of respect, honor, and adoration. Yes. A fear that causes us to fall to our knees and say, we love you, and we thank you, we want to know you more, we want to feel you more, we want to hear you, God. I bind and renounce in the name of Jesus all religious tongues, all religious ears in the name of Yeshua, who the people who speak English call him Jesus. I renounce, yes, mind-blocking spirits, I renounce in the name of Yeshua all confusing spirits in Jesus' name. You're not welcome here. You're not wanted here. Yeah. Yes. A thwarting spirit, a twister of truth. I bind and break your powers. I renounce you right now, and you are not welcome here at all. We stand with the Most High God. We stand in truth. We stand with the life. Yes. Redeemed is who we are. Washed and cleansed with the blood sacrifice that was made, the blood of the perfect Lamb, the Lamb of God. The one that was prophesied for 1,500 years. He came, he walked, he lived, he died, he rose from the dead. He sacrificed his own life for our sins. We stand redeemed with him and only him. Yeah. Yeah. If you agree with the prayer I just prayed, you just say, in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, can you give these two a hand of encouragement, a hand of gratitude? Thank you. Amazing gift. Amazing, 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 amazing. And you can be seated if you'd like. We all encounter opposition in our lives. How many of you have had your fair share of opposition in your life? How many of you would say you've had your fair share? Well, I have some really good news for you, and the good news is you're not done. You're not done. You will have more opposition in your life. The opposition is not over. You don't graduate at some point in your life where there's no more opposition. Do you understand? Your marriage doesn't graduate to a point where there's no more opposition. Are you hearing me? Opposition is supposed to be here. The opposer is supposed to be here. The opposer has a job. And if you have no opposition at all in your life, get ready. Get ready. Because it will come. Because it's through opposition that we get strengthened. It's through opposition. Opposition is a teacher. Opposition is a strengthener. It's the same for all of you who are the workout buffs here in the room. Resistance creates strength. Resistance creates strength. So welcome it. Say yes to it. Tonight we're going to talk about five powerful weapons that you will use to overcome opposition. Like yourself, I've encountered a lot of opposition in my life. But I would say that there are certain places where the opposition is stronger than in other places. And one place where I experienced it about 20 some odd years ago was actually amongst people that were religious. They called themselves Christians. I found that I didn't have the right body type, that I didn't have the right hair, I didn't have the right look, I certainly didn't have the right past. Because I was a successful businesswoman, again, after being almost a prostitute, I almost got into prostitution. I was one step away from becoming a coke whore, and I was another step away from becoming a centerfold for Penthouse magazine. One step away. The invitations were right in front of me. Unfortunately, one said no to me for giving my body for a line of cocaine. And fortunately, I said no to Penthouse magazine. Yeah. Could you imagine what a mess that would have been? It'd be all over the internet. Could you imagine what a mess that would be? My sons. Oh. Ew. Yucca. Because of my past, I wasn't accepted, or at least that's what I thought. Because I had the shape that I did, and I was a female. So being a female, being tall, athletically built, didn't have enough gray hair. I got a few now. Maybe they'll accept me. They're right here. I'm just letting them come in, wearing them proud. Earned every one of them. Figured I'm 46 and a half, man. It's about time, right?
Yes.
I ain't hiding them suckers. They are earned. Now, I might hide them in a few years. They're fine for now. But opposition came when I gave my life over to my God. I was in a place of opposition. I was in the middle of being embezzled by my friends. And I had started a business, and it became very successful. I worked very part-time. I made a lot of money. I spent a lot of money. And then I reached a place of total emptiness. I bought myself everything I ever wanted. I had the jewelry. I had the Mercedes-Benz that I paid cash for, not one but two. I had the house and all the furnishings. I had the $250,000 wardrobe. $250,000 worth of jewelry. I mean, I had it all. I rode around in limousines. I traveled around the country speaking to large crowds of people. I mean, I had it all. I was in magazines and on television shows, and I was getting all these interviews and had written up in a few books. You know, it was like, dang, man, I have the life. And then something inside of me became so empty. and so lost. And I became very fearful. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, after I built a multi-million dollar company, not one, but two. I'm 23 years old. I just made my first million. I have the best life in the world. I've got a man in my life that I love. I've got a new baby. Life is good. But all of a sudden, I was crippled with fear. And I called my two vice presidents and I said, you guys can have the company. I'm moving to Italy with Erica. I'm out of here. I don't know what's about to happen, but I can feel something inside of me. Something bad is about to happen. Well, sure enough, the something bad did happen. I got embezzled. Bookkeeper that took off with a whole lot of money. Friends that I built the company for embezzled it all. I'm left with $1 million worth of a product that I developed with some doctors in my warehouse. That was some intense opposition, wouldn't you say? I happened to arrive in Hawaii on vacation with my boyfriend at the time. He's my husband today. We sealed that deal. Coming up next week, 22 legal years ago, 24 illegal years. We did it all backwards. I don't recommend it at all. It created a lot of messes. But at least I tell the truth about it. I really don't recommend it. So I'm sitting in a church service against my own will. And I cussed and screamed the whole way there. I had a foul, foul tongue. I hated Christians. I hated church people. I had a past with them, past of judgment. I was a teen pregnancy. That didn't go over really well in a little town of 700 people that I was raised in for my high school years. So I knew I couldn't trust those people. But someone had died, so it was in honor of this person. There was an evangelist that was preaching and sweating and spitting and preaching and sweating and spitting, and he was preaching and sweating and spitting. I was sitting there just judging him, sitting in the back, my arms crossed, my feet up on the seat in front of me, going, guys, people are idiots. We're a bunch of fools, man. They believe this crap? You know that's not what I said. That's the G-rated version. We're a bunch of idiots, man. They have no life. They're so easily deceived by this fool up there that's spitting. He's just a motivational speaker. It's ridiculous. As time went on, something hit my spirit. And it was something that I taught to the crowds that I was teaching. First steps to success to. You're going to have bad karma, Danny. Look at how you're judging this man. So I'm like, oh, caca, I don't want to sow any bad karma, which is the law of reaping and sowing, by the way. That's what it is, it's the law of reaping and sowing. It's in the Bible. It doesn't say karma. That's what the New Age people gave it, a new word called karma. But it's reaping and sowing. So I elbow my boyfriend. I said, hey, give me a piece of paper and a pen. Pay attention to this guy. So I sit forward. I'm going to start taking notes. I take my feet off the seat in front of me. I just start writing. And he starts saying some things. And my boyfriend, he goes, dude, you teach that at First Steps. I'm like, I know. I didn't know that was in the Bible. So he's teaching some more. I'm taking some notes. And his best friend, Chris, elbows me. He says, dude, you teach that at First Steps. Dude, I didn't know that was in the Bible. And this went on for like 30 minutes back and forth. They're like, whoa, I didn't know that was in the Bible. So sure enough, man, I was like, these are like the same concepts. It was almost verbatim what I had been teaching people on how to build business and make money and grow their business reputations or grow their careers. And I know that messes with some of your theology, like it totally jacks up your mind, that how in the world could this heathen broad who is a New Ager be teaching the Bible and teaching what was in the Bible and not know that she was teaching the Bible? Well, let me just back up for a moment. When I was in the eighth grade, Well, my mom broke her neck when I was 11. By the time I was in the eighth grade, they got a settlement because there was some wrongdoing that happened to my mother. It was a malpractice suit, and my mom received a large settlement. So by the time I was 14, they put us in a dress and put us in a private school. I recently visited that private school. And we're forced to do this Bible class thing. And we're forced to, every day we have a Bible class, and every week we got to go to this chapel thing and all of this nonsense. And that was actually where I was first introduced to the Bible and first introduced to Yeshua, which means Savior, the Savior. And that's where I first met him. And then I met Christian people. And for several years I walked with God. And I loved him. He was my safe place. But then I got judged when I got pregnant. Condemned, criticized, outcasted, rejected, dejected. And that's when I said, God, if I have to be like your people, I want nothing to do with you. But for 5 years, I went to a Bible school. For 5 years. So I had to memorize scriptures. I had to do term papers on the Bible. Now, how come it is that I don't quote history or algebra or geometry? Lord have mercy. How come I cannot quote anything about science? I mean, how many years of science did you and I have? We had science back in kindergarten. We had math back in kindergarten. We had language back in kindergarten. We even had history back in kindergarten. So for 12 years, we learned about the same subjects over and over again. Do you know how I know that? Because I'm a homeschooling mom. It's the same junk every year. It really is the same junk every single year. Every grade is still the same old stuff that they've been learning since kindergarten. It's just repetition again and again and again and again. Bigger words is all that changes. It's just bigger words. It's all the same junk. But isn't it interesting that my 5 years of Bible is what was shooting out of my mouth? Let me tell you why. Because that Bible says that the word of God will not return void, but that it does exactly what it was sent out to do. It doesn't say that about history. It doesn't say that about science. It doesn't say that about algebra. It doesn't say that about geometry. It says that about the word of the living God. So the word of the living God was planted inside of me, and here I'm teaching business, and the word of God is flying out of me. Well, Danny, that's sacrilegious. That just can't be true. It's just not possible. Really? Well, you know, I know that totally jacks it up, right? Because if you're supposed to teach the Bible, you're supposed to have a degree, you're supposed to go get ordination papers, right? You're supposed to go to cemetery where you die. They call it seminary, okay? And you pick up this weird language when you're there, and I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm talking about, and then the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. Some strange hallelujah. Is that how you talk to your wife in the bedroom? Because if you do, it kind of explains a lot of things. And is that how you ask your son to pass the salt? Amen, hallelujah, pass the salt. Who are you people? Maybe you shouldn't go to that cemetery. Maybe you just learn how to be real. So I had 5 years of Bible, and here's also what the Bible talks about. It shows that there was an ass in the Bible, and an ass that God talked through. Like, the ass started talking, and the ass actually talked to a prophet. So the bottom line was, I was just the current ass available. God will use anything. And I certainly met all the qualifications of an ass. So that's the reality, is that he will speak through anyone. He will speak through anyone, anytime. And he is not a shower of favorites. And he picks no favorites. He doesn't have these crazy qualifications that man has created of jump through these hoops of fire and make sure you're sinless in order for you to teach a Bible study. In order for you to talk about the Bible, you have to be holy. How many of you do not qualify? Me neither. So what I found when I dove into the Bible, because that night he's teaching all these success principles that came out of the Bible, and that was a shocker to me. So I went back and I bought everything the guy had. $656 bucks worth of books, videos, and audios. I bought everything, and I came home, and I did what most people do. I put it in the closet, and I didn't look at it. About a year later, I was cleaning out the closet, and I see these things, and I happen to be suffering even more than I had that night when I rededicated my life to the Lord. I pull out one of his DVDs, and I'm laying in bed with my little baby Erica, and I'm watching it, and I had just had a heart attack. So I was really going through some hard stuff. I had been embezzled, right, after that night. I was embezzled. I got married. I hated the guy that I married. Absolutely hated him with a passion. Here I screwed up again. I only got married because I wanted a third child, and I didn't want a third child out of wedlock. I already had two kids out of wedlock. I didn't want a third one out of wedlock. That's the only reason why I got married. And we're still together. We have five kids now. So anyway, I watch these videos, and something begins to click, and I begin to get hungry for the truth that was coming out of this. And I began to read the Bible, and I found something that was very interesting. And what I found is that what I would hear taught at church versus what I would read in the Bible seemed very different. When I started reading in Genesis all the way to Revelation, I'm like, where do they get their ideas from? Where does this whole corporate structure of a church come from? Because it's not in this book. And whoever said, wait a second, John the Baptist was a hippie. He was a tree-hugging hippie. And he baptized people. But according to the rules of the church, you have to like have these ordination papers. You got to be holy. You can have never have done anything wrong ever in your life. And you have to have a prophecy from some prophet from somewhere else. And okay, all this weird stuff has to happen. And you have to be like super, uber, utu, utu, basa, wakawa, spiritual. Right? And you have to have all these friends that are spiritual. And like everybody just walks around and prays all the time in order for God to use you. But then I'm looking at John the Baptist, who is like a rebellious teenager, who said, oh, I'm in line to be the next high priest? Nah. No thanks, I'm gonna hug some trees, eat some honey and some bugs. None of it's kosher. That's what he went and did. And he was the baptizer. You know, so then I look at like Abraham, you know, so we hear Abraham, let's look at the saint Abraham. The saint? Liar, liar, pants on fire? He lied. He told the king that his wife was not his wife. This is my sister, not once but twice. Liar, liar, pants on fire. So look at the holy prophet Abraham. He's a liar. And not only that, he was rich. Ooh, and then never found words. He was rich. He wasn't just rich. He was filthy, stinking rich. He was a really, 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 really rich, very influential businessman. With lots of servants, okay? And then he had a son. He had a couple of them, but he had a son. And his son, Isaac, right? Who you're here? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isaac was rich. And Isaac had two weird sons who were also not holy. Oh, no, no. Not according to what our understanding of holy is. The word holy, Kadosh in Hebrew, means to be set apart. Not to be sinless. It's set apart. So Isaac, you know, he's kind of a weird dog. He sends his servant to go find a wife from his uncle. Will you go get my cousin? I want to marry her. Ew. Okay, she has twins, Esau and Jacob. Okay, Jacob is a full-on swindler, full-on liar, cheater, stealer. His brother's the big macho hunter guy, hairy and stinky. He goes out, kills game, and the brother's like, I'm going to grow some flowers, okay? I like to tend to the sheep, okay? So these two very different boys, okay? And no, wait, this gets really good, okay? The hunter comes back with like, you know, some game on his shoulders, blood dripping down his, you know, his thong. Because that's what they wore, okay? And his cloak, okay? That's made of, camel hair, itchy, okay? So anyway, so he's starving, Marvin. He sits down at his brother's tent. His brother's making lentils.
Oh, I like my lentils. Mm.
With a little bit of cumin and some coriander. His brother comes in all bloody.
I killed the gay man with my own bare hands. Give me some lentils.
No, I don't want to give you any lentils. You didn't wash your hands.
Give me some lentils.
No, you just killed an animal.
Give me some lentils, boy.
Give me your birthright.
All right.
What a swindler. He takes his brother's wealth, his brother's birthright, for a bowl of porridge.
This is Saint Jacob. Prophet Jacob.
It is the truth. Read the book. He gives birth to 12 radical sons who try to kill the youngest, the second to the youngest brother. And guess what else? They were all rich. They were all wealthy, all influential.
Well, if you are going to be used by God, and if you really, truly are holy, then you are not rich. Riches are from the devil.
Can you please tell me what scripture and verse that is? Because I'd like to see it. Because it does not exist. It doesn't exist. There's 2,500 scriptures in the Bible that talk about money. 2,500. You probably only know two.
Well, it's something about the camel in the eye of a needle or something. That it's harder for a rich man to get to heaven than it is for a camel and a needle. Or I know that one, something like that. And that money is the root of all evil. You have misquoted that passage.
And so have the people who have taught you it. Majority of the scriptures in the Bible are pro-wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18, it is I who have given you the power to create wealth. It is I who have given you the power to create wealth. He who chases a fantasy has poverty waiting for him. Someone who doesn't want to work but is still expects to get rich, have fun with that. Buying a lottery ticket is chasing a fantasy. Trying to buy a business where they tell you don't have to do anything, you just have to buy the business and do nothing else, that's a fantasy. Thinking you're going to get lucky is a fantasy. Thinking that Social Security is somehow going to take care of you is a fantasy. It's a fantasy. Yeah, that somehow you're going to have a rich heaven, rich husband fall from heaven and land on you and take care of you the rest of your life. Fantasy. 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 You marry the right person, everything's going to be great. Fantasy. It's all a fantasy. Diligent hands produce wealth. Wealth is accumulated little by little. That's all in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. But boy, we submitted ourselves to little tiny pieces of teaching that has painted a story about a book that isn't even close to real. It's not even close to real. Read the book, man. It's so good. How many of you could use some good financial advice? Read the book. It's in the book. How many of you could use some good business advice, career advice? It's in the book. Marital advice, it's in the book. Raising kids, solving problems, all in the book. It's all right there in the book. It's the best book ever written. But people have tainted it with their different colors and flavors and ideas about it. Well, tonight, we're going to open that book. And we're going to boldly talk about that book. Because inside that book has some weapons for you. You to overcome the opposition that is in your life. How to spot it. How to determine where it's coming from, and how to overcome that which should not be in your life. Use the opposition to strengthen you versus to bury you, because how many of you have almost been buried by opposition before? Okay, well, tonight, you're going to learn something new about opposition. So, number one in my outline, don't put number one in your paper. We all encounter opposition. The important thing is to identify where it's coming from. Sometimes opposition is coming from places that you are not aware of. So the question I have for you, when I say identify the opposition and where it's coming from, some of you think it's coming from your spouse. Others of you think it's coming from your kids. So my question is it really coming from your spouse? Is the opposition really coming from the kids? Is the opposition really coming from the boss? Is the opposition really coming from the coworkers? Is the opposition really coming from the economy? Is it really coming from there, or is that just what you've been blaming? It's important to identify the truth about where it's actually coming from. Sometimes opposition is present in our life because it's consequences to our own actions. And it's consequences to our inaction. So sometimes opposition is the result of reaping and sowing. Because we've sowed something, whether that's hurt the way that we've treated people, and what we're getting returned back to us is people mistreating us back. Does that make sense? Sometimes it is because of nasty little secret habits that we might have, wicked habits that we might have. Those secret little things that we don't want anyone to know about, like the secret drinking problem, like the secret drug problem, like the secret pornography problem. Danny, pornography is not a problem. It is if you're addicted to it. If you cannot get away from it, first of all, it defiles yourself. It defiles your soul. Nuh-uh, makes me feel good. Uh-huh, really? Let's talk about that. And let's see if we can dwindle down to the truth, because there's something about wickedness that is deceitful. When we're in wickedness, we don't think it's bad. But the consequences of the weakness is bad. The consequences of the wickedness is bad. So we can have consequences in our life from the secret little things that no one knows about, that we think no one knows. This is between me and myself and I. But the bottom line is the consequences are showing up in your life, and it's called opposition. How we treat people creates opposition. So again, sometimes it's consequences of our own actions or our inaction. Ignoring people causes consequences. Tearing people up with our tongues brings consequences. Enabling people creates consequences. How we treat ourselves creates consequences. The Bible says that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible also says that no man doesn't love himself. He loves himself. He cares for himself. He feeds himself. But we live in a time and a day where there are people who actually hate themselves. And you see it in how they eat. You see it in how they treat their physical body. So the consequences of hurting our physical body is health problems that we call opposition. But this could just be consequences. The consequences of not having self-control, the consequences of making poor choices by what we put into our mouths. There's so much knowledge out there today about how to live a healthy life, isn't there? Okay, well, guess where it all came from? The Bible. The Bible tells us exactly what to eat and what we should stay away from. And it just so happens that the foods that God tells us not to eat, pig, for example, there's parasites in pig meat. You can cook your bacon, leave it out. Cover it up. Watch what comes out of it in the next 2 days. Worms. It's true. That's what comes out of it. Pigs don't sweat. You squeeze the hoof of a pig, pus comes out of his hoof. The pus that's in the bacon that you ate this morning. So people go, oh, well, you know, I'm not religious, so I can eat bacon. Have fun with your bad cells and all them parasites that are in your intestines. Including, like, my friend Willie, who they thought he had a brain tumor years ago. They went to do brain surgery, opened up his brain, and found a 19-inch tapeworm sucking the blood, sucking the nutrients off of his brain. He didn't have a tumor. It was a 19-inch tapeworm on his brain. Could have been killed with a parasite cleanse. But instead, he had a $250,000 brain surgery. Why? I don't know, it could have been bacon. Texans love their bacon, they love their pork, they love their barbecue. Okay, so that's great. Then you want closed arteries and things like that, then go ahead and do it. And by the way, milk does not do a body good. It's a marketing campaign. That was a marketing campaign that we all got suckered into, and we believe that milk does the body good. Mm-mm. Wants you to reach around your waist and take a pinch. That's what milk does. You're like, shut up, Danny. You're just getting too up close and personal. Hey, shut up. You shut up, too. I came from an obese family. I know what I'm talking about. I came from an obese family. My mom was 280 pounds. My dad was 350. Do you understand? My sisters both were 300 pounds. So obesity was a part of my life, and I just accepted that that's where I'm going to go until one day where I said, no, thank you. And I decided to watch what was going in my mouth instead of not watching what was going in my mouth. Do you understand? So this is the girl that used a whole jar of Jiffy peanut butter and a whole box of Wheat Thins just for a snack. That was me. That's when I was gaining a pound a day. That's a good snack, man. Now what's for dinner? I could eat a whole pizza, no problem. That was a snack. Okay, I had a huge, huge, enormous appetite. I should have been 300 pounds. Okay, but you know, there are choices that you have to make. And there's research that's all over the place that can teach us how to treat our bodies better. So sometimes, again, opposition are consequences of our own actions. And guess what? That kind of opposition you cannot get rid of. That's the kind of opposition you have to learn from. That opposition is a teacher. Did you hear me? Yes. That opposition is a teacher, like this. Okay, how many of you know you need to get out of debt? Okay, but how many of you are like, I don't really care. One day you will care. So it's when you've heard a thing, you've learned a thing, but you won't follow the thing, you're going to have consequences for your inaction. And you will pay a price for the inaction. You'll pay a price for the rebellion. You'll pay a price for saying, no, I don't want to do it. Does that make sense? So opposition that comes from consequences, you're going to have to walk through them, and you're going to have to learn from them. That opposition is a teacher. You can decrease the amount of opposition that happens in your life based on the choices that you make every day. Unresolved issues from your past can bring opposition into your future and bring it into today. Unresolved issues, unhealed wounds inside of your heart, resentment, bitterness from the past will rise up today and hurt you, and will rise up and hurt your future. So again, these are unresolved issues that create opposition. Okay? Enabling people creates opposition. You lend somebody money or you give them money and they buy drugs with it. They continue their drinking habit, they continue their lazy habit, they continue their video game habit, they continue their porn habit. You keep lending them money, you keep lending money, and, oh no, I'm going to change this time. No, I'm going to change this time. It's going to get better. It's never going to happen again. And you keep lending, you keep giving to that person that does not want to change, that person that is not changing, that person who has no fruit, that the last time you gave them the money, that it actually made a difference. That enabling creates opposition for you because you'll come to a day where you need the money back and they don't have it. So now you've got opposition in your life. You need it for something really, really, really important, and you don't have it because you enabled somebody else. And or you'll be like one of my family members who has a 50-year-old son living with her right now. She's enabled him his entire life. He is stealing her jewelry and selling it for drugs. Precious heirloom pieces that have been passed down to her for the last 100 years that landed in her hands are now gone. Because her son, who she's been paying his cell phone bill since he had one, he's 50 years old. Her son, who she's been paying his rent, his girlfriend finally kicked him out and said, I ain't covering your costs anymore. So he moved in with mom because mom couldn't say no because she's enabled him. Single moms, look at me. Raise your hands. Do not be enablers. There is a guilt. It's a lie. It's a lie guilt that comes on you that says, well, if only I was not single, my son or my daughter didn't have the life that they could have had because I was single. So this guilt says I need to buy them a car. The guilt says I need to pay for their cell phone. The guilt, and he's 35 years old. The guilt says, well, you know, it's just this one time. It's just this one time. I cannot tell you. I've seen more from enabling single mothers who are now 70, who have a son who's completely dependent. Enabling creates opposition for your life. We got to teach them to be adults. We have to teach them to stand on their own two feet. and to not be dependent their entire lives. We are robbing somebody if we are not helping them learn by dealing with their own consequences of their own choices. You got to identify your response to opposition. What is your response to opposition? This is something I'm personally working on, as I expressed this morning. Identify your response. I have a question for you. How strong is your strategy for overcoming opposition? How many of you would say, I don't even have a strategy for overcoming opposition? How many of you do have a strategy for overcoming opposition? A couple of you. I never had a strategy for overcoming opposition. How many of you didn't even know that you should have a strategy for overcoming opposition? I mean, it didn't even enter your head, like, I probably should have a strategy for this. I probably need a skill for overcoming adversity and overcoming opposition because I seem to have opposition in my life, okay? So let's create one, right? Anybody need one? How many of you could use a refresher on maybe yours? Okay, so here you go. Number one, sorry, not there yet. Yeah, number one. No, sorry, not there yet. Yes, I'm there. I can go there. We'll go there. Number one, the number one weapon that can be a part of your strategy for fighting against and overcoming opposition, because some opposition you'll fight against, others you'll overcome it. Did you hear me? Overcome it. The first weapon is the weapon of taking personal responsibility. Taking personal responsibility that completely disarms opposition. When we take personal responsibility instead of defending ourselves, when your accuser comes, when the provoker comes, instead of defending yourself and reclaiming who you are and proving to the person that you are not what they said you were, how many of you have done that in the face of an opposer? How well does it work? It doesn't work at all. You will not overcome opposition with defense. You will not overcome opposition with trying to prove yourself, trying to make them believe what they don't believe. That will never work against opposition. But taking personal responsibility will disarm opposition. So that's no more blaming, no defending, no deflecting. No saying, well, you did this. That's a deflection. But you got to take personal responsibility, because blaming, defending, and deflecting creates more opposition. How many of you know that's true? That it actually creates more opposition. It doesn't disarm it. It creates more. One of the most important things to understand, and this is something I learned this year in a deeper way, you got to know what season of life you're in. When you don't know what season of life you're in, you create opposition. And you think that the season is opposition, but the season is not opposition. I said this earlier today, who is in charge of changing the seasons? How many of you are not the one in control of making fall happen? How many of you are not the one in control of bringing winter? Who here is not in control of bringing summer or spring? Not a single one of us control the seasons. They are set in place. You have seasons in your life. So let's start with the winter season. That winter season is a season where everything's brittle. Everything is dead. Nothing is growing. Nothing is looking like it's going to grow anytime soon either. It's a cold season. It could be a frigid season. It's a hard season to endure. The next season is the spring. And that next season is a season of getting busy and activity is happening and things seem to be moving, but you don't see anything yet. Because that springtime is when you are preparing the soil, preparing, let's say, if you had a vineyard, for example. If there was a vineyard, and by the way, this is a biblical teaching. This is not, you know, just talking about, you know, farming. In a pruning season, when you have a vineyard or you have olive trees or you have apple trees, you have some kind of an orchard, right? One year, we moved about 15 years ago, we moved into a house that had grapes. And they were growing on a bunch of trellis and they were all over the place and big, beautiful leaves. I knew nothing about growing grapes, but the grapes just were there. I inherited the grapes with the house. So we had grapes. Well, I did not know that during the winter season, you're supposed to cut and prune the what do you call those things? The vines. You're supposed to prune the vines. Well, I didn't know that. So here came the next springtime. We didn't prune anything during the preparation time, during the pruning season. We didn't prune it. So that next year, guess what happened to the grapes? They were itty-bitty. They weren't even raisins, man. They were like an eraser head. Mona, you remember that? They were the size of an eraser head. Okay, so they were itty-bitty, and they were bitter, 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 like sour, 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 worse than any sour candy that you can put in your mouth. Why? Because we, out of ignorance, did not trim, did not prune the branches. You see, what happens when something gets pruned is it creates more health and nutrition and life for the rest of the plant. So you have to trim back the vines, the stems, if you will, that are not producing something. The ones that are weak, the ones that aren't doing what they're supposed to do, you have to trim all those back, or even the ones that are dead, the ones that are done, you have to trim all that back to where now the thing looks dead, it looks like it's not going to do anything, and now new sprouts come, and now we have new big juicy fruit. So some of you are in a pruning season, and you think it's opposition, but it's not opposition. It's a season of preparation. So that's why you have to know your season. When you know, oh, I'm in a season of preparation. So what's a season of preparation? That's when things are being cut off. That's when things are being pruned back. That's when things are being shrunk. Why? To create room for what? Much, much more. But when you, yes, much more efficiency happens during a pruning season. That's when things are cut back to see what actually needs to be done versus all these other things that are being done that really don't need to be done. So when you don't know what season you're in, you have an expectation of growth when things are being cut. Now you drive yourself crazy. So you think that because there's no growth, you call that opposition. No, fool, it's the season. It's the season that you're in, so you got to know what season you're in. When you are in a season of pruning, in a season of preparation, this is where it can be painful for you if you're ignorant. But if you understand the season and go, oh, I get it, we're being pruned. This is where you go, awesome! I'm being prepared for growth. So if you don't know that, you don't know which season you're in, how many of you are in a pruning season? Awesome. This is time to cut things off. Do you understand? It's a time to pull back on some things. It's a time to say no to some things. Okay? It's time to like say, you know what? I signed up for that PTA thing. That was stupid. Recant. Okay? No, I will not be the soccer coach. No, I will not be the dance coach. No, I will not be the singing coach. Not now. Not in this season. Do you understand? So that season of pruning is a season of preparation, and it's preparation for growth. Do not be afraid of a pruning season. Welcome the pruning season. Yes and amen to the pruning season. Welcome all of it because it's a sign of growth that is on its way, okay? So that season is not opposition. That's the hand of Almighty God weeding the garden. That's the hand of Almighty God trimming the trees. That's the time. Listen, I remember my first pruning season. I would get so depressed. I would. I'd be so sad. It's like, everyone's quitting. I'm losing all my customers. I'm losing all my best reps. Everything's falling apart. I'm falling. It's not working. That was my first time going through a pruning season. It was. Come on, this season I got embezzled when my business was embezzled. What was that? That was a pruning. That was a pruning season. So my first time going through that, I just freaked out. Like, oh, God hates me. I hate you too, you sucker. I'm serious. I'm absolutely serious. You call me. I did. I used to think he was a communist. I really did. Everything's about you. You control everybody.
If we don't worship you, then you're going to kill us. Communist. Totally, I had that conversation with God one day. Absolutely. What a loving father he is. He's just looking down at me, smiling his little fancy off. And then he goes, you're talking about your father, not me. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, you're right. It's a judgment I had against my dad. My dad was a control freak. He was a dominating, evil, wicked ways that he had. And these were unresolved issues from my past that tainted my current relationship with my God into whether or not I would trust him. Because I saw my heavenly father through the eyes of a daughter who saw the earthly father who abused her. So he's just smiling at me. I'm like, you're just a communist. Everything's about you. You just want to be worshipped. Well, I'm not going to do that. He's just looking at this cute little girl that he has. She's all rebellious. He's like, I still love you, honey. But you ain't talking about me. You're talking about the man that raised you. I'm the one who rescued you. Yeah, you are. I ain't that man you're talking about. That left you, that forsook you. Oh, that's not me. I'm your loving father who has watched over you and protected you your whole life. Like, oh, thanks. Everything changed in that moment. I'll never forget where I was. I'm in a canoe in the middle of a river in the state of Washington with clouds in the sky because that's where they're always at in Washington. Sorry. So you got to know what season you're in so you don't freak out. It took me about 3 pruning seasons before I went, oh, yeah, I get it. This is awesome. Bring it, baby. Come on, cut it all off of me now. Anything else? Did you get everything? I'm not kidding you. Like, come on, show me. What has to change? Let's do this thing. And there's a grace to change it during the pruning season, okay? All right. So you got to take personal responsibility, okay, and not create more opposition because of our own ignorance, okay? So, and here's really important. Please listen to this. They sang about it earlier. Surrender. Surrender. Think about this for just one moment. I know you've seen it in movies because most of you have not been in war, but for those of you that have and you had to do this, which I don't know if there's anyone here that had, but have you ever seen the movies and more of, let's say, the early time, you know, old wars, you know, with the red coats, the blue coats, or the white coats, or whatever the coats were, and the guy is holding up the what flag? The white flag. And what's the posture of the person that's holding up that white flag? What is it? It's surrender. I surrender. But what comes with surrender? Humility and trust. They have no idea what their outcome is. They just know they can't fight anymore. Guess what else comes? You can see it. Peace. You can see it on them. Like, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. There's a peace that comes when we stop striving and fighting. There's a peace that enters us, and there's trust. It's, I don't know what this is going to look like, but at least I'm not going to be fighting anymore. At least I'm not going to be striving anymore. I can't do it anymore. So watch, listen. With surrender comes trust. With trust comes peace. With peace comes faith and love. You see, it is impossible to love without trust. It's impossible to love without trust. And it's impossible to have trust without surrender. Fully abandoned surrender. My brother and my sister, listen. God has you in the palm of his hands. He adores you. He adores you. He loves you. His eye is upon the sparrow, and his eye is upon you. There's times in my life where I have raced, fought, strived. And when I look at the times of surrender, God, I don't care what the outcome is. I give up. I don't care. I don't care. I trust you. Thing happens. When you think of what's the worst that can happen? You know how your head goes through that? And you get yourself all worked up? You got to get to the place where you say, I don't give a rip. I don't give a rip. I'm done fighting. I'm done striving. I surrender all. What I have found in surrender is trust. But what I've also found in surrender is I have found a pace that the Lord has for me. You got to know what vehicle you are. You see, some of us are VW bugs. Some of us are 1966 Corvettes. Some of us are a Lamborghini. But see, if you have it in your head that you're a Lamborghini, yet you were built as a VW bug, there's a problem. You see, a VW bug, especially one from the 60s, has four cylinders. Just four. How much does a Lamborghini have? Six, eight, 12? Is it 12? Okay, let's call it 12. So here's those three cars, right? You got a VW Bug, you got a 1966 Corvette, and you've got a brand new Lamborghini. The gun goes off, it's a race. And it's a long one. If you don't know who you are, you'll compare yourself to the vet and the Lamborghini. And you will fry your little engine. Because you'll run it from the pedal to the metal until it explodes. Some of you have done that. I know which one I am. And I ain't trying to be no Corvette. And I ain't trying to be no Lamborghini. You're looking at a VW Bug right here. That's what you're looking at. And darn proud of it. I like to coast. I found the pace that the Lord has for me. Have you found the one he has for you? Or are you running faster? Or are you not running at all? In my early days, I tried to be a Lamborghini. And I had a heart attack at 24 and a nervous breakdown at 25. That's the price that I paid, running my engine a little too strong for way too long. Man, there's something really beautiful because I surrendered. I surrendered. And I'll never forget this. The day that I said, Lord, I don't care if I go broke. I don't care if I'm the laughing stock of the universe. I don't care if I lose my house. I don't care if I go out of business. I don't care if I lose all my friends. This sucks. And I am not going to work 100 hours a week anymore. I am not going to live this life that I'm living anymore. It's not worth it. I want to be a mom. I got kids I do not know. And I'm done with this life. So take it all. Surrender. I found a space. And this is what I heard him say. You be trusted with what I've given you with Hans and the kids. And I will multiply your time. And I will multiply your efforts. I cut my hours down to 20 hours a week. 20.
And guess what happened? My income tripled. I didn't lose my business. I stopped chasing business and my business grew. I stopped chasing people and they started coming to me. I stopped striving and I started sleeping like a full night's rest versus 4-hour naps in the middle of the night. I found the pace. You see, God wants you to co-labor with him in the marketplace. He wants to be God and he wants you to be his child. He wants to co-labor with you. But see, if you're so busy pushing things, forcing things, making things happen, where's his place in your life? How does he get to be God? Because I want you to know something. Your Father in heaven is working on your behalf in the foreground, the background, the side ground. He's working all around you, making things happen on your behalf that are far better than what you could do yourself. But when we're so busy controlling the outcome, we're so busy pressuring and manipulating other people to make them do what we want them to do, guess what? You never get to receive the blessing from him because you're not co-laboring with him, you're laboring without him. So I've devoted my whole business, my family, my everything, devoted this entire weekend to him, dedicated the weekend to him, letting him do what he does best. He changes lives. I can't change a single person. I can't even change my own darn life. But he can, and he does, and he desires to. But you have to surrender. So that number one weapon is really surrendering. When you take full responsibility and you say, you know what, I'm done blaming, I'm done deflecting, I'm done defending. I surrender. And I don't care if I lose it all. I'm not going to live this way. I don't care what the outcome is. I don't care if I look bad to everybody. It is what it is. And I'll deal with it however which way it comes and wherever it looks. Because, Lord, I'm following you. I'm yours. And you're going to teach me something. If I've messed up, I'm going to learn something. And I trust your outcome for my life. How many of you want to walk in that kind of trust? You see, that is a powerful weapon against opposition. Because opposition says, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if. Doesn't it? Opposition says, what if you fail? What if you've wasted your time? What if you lose the money? What if those people don't follow through with what they said they would do? What if those people don't ever come forward with the money they said they were going to bring? What if people are going to laugh at you? What if you lose your job? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if? So guess what you say? I surrender. I surrender. God, I trust you. 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 I trust your timeline. I trust your pace. You see, he's given me a pace that fits my VW bug. He maybe gave you a pace that's your Lamborghini. I mean, even if you're a Lamborghini, he's still doing things in the background, the foreground, and the side grounds on your behalf, making things happen. If you're co-laboring with him. But if you are laboring without him, have fun with that. It sucks. How many of you have labored without him? Sucks, doesn't it? Weapon number two. Wait, let me finish this. Surrender brings trust. Where there is no trust, there is no faith. Where there is no faith, there is no action. Where there is no action, there's no results. Where there is no results, there's no future. There's only a repeat of yesteryear.
Can you say that again?
This is also going to be on the MP3 for the weekend, by the way. So this is included for free in the MP3, okay? But I'll do it again. Where there is no surrender, there is no trust. Where there is no trust, there is no faith. Where there is no faith, there is not action. Without action, there's no results. With no results, there's no future. There's just a repeat of yesteryear. So let's flip the coin. Where there is surrender. I don't care what the outcome is, God. I trust that you've got my back. I trust that you have my best. I trust you. I trust you. I trust my reputation in your hands. I don't have to protect my reputation. I don't have to control what people think about me. I don't have to live for other people. I live for you. Where there is surrender, surrender your business, surrender your job, surrender your spouse. Surrender your spouse. There were seasons in my life where I said, Lord, I do not want to be a divorced woman. I'd rather be a widow. So figure it out. No joke. I do not want to be a divorced widow. I'd rather be a widow. So I surrender to you. If you got to kill him, kill him. Do what you got to do. I'm not kidding. Do what you got to do. Or kill me. Make him the widower or me the widow. One, pick one. Because this ain't working. I need a new strategy. It's the times where I have, I'm not kidding you. It's the times where I have fully surrendered. Lord, if you tell me to go do that, I'm willing. And I might be laughed at. And I might be judged. And I might be criticized. And I might be condemned. But I know you got my back. And I will trust you as I walk through that. Why do I know? Because Jesus was criticized, condemned, falsely accused, beaten, flogged, lied about, gossiped about, mistreated. Come on now. This all happened to him. So for me to think that I can read that book and think that there's not going to be some suffering for me, I'm an idiot if I think that. There is going to be suffering for me. And guess who's going to suffer right along with me? He already did. And he's going to help me while I walk through the suffering. So that's why a full surrender, just as the Messiah fully surrendered. He fully surrendered. He didn't care about his outcome. He trusted his Father. Father, into your hands, I give you my soul. I surrender. I'm yours. Oh, there's freedom in surrender. There's peace in surrender. There's faith in surrender. There's action in surrender. There's results in surrender. And it's not up to you to do it all. It's amazing. Weapon number two is the weapon of love. The weapon of love. 1 Corinthians 13, you've heard it a dozen times. If you've ever been to a wedding, you've heard this passage. I encourage you to pull out your best success book ever written and look it up. I'm first going to read from the New American Standard. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It does not brag. It is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Zinger. Zinger. It is not provoked. Breathe. Love is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. The NIV version says this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love is not provoked. Oh, what a powerful weapon love is. Love is not provoked. Love is not provoked. Love is not easily angered. Oy, oy, oy. My husband and I reached a season in our lives that we did not know how to overcome. We couldn't do it. And the strategies that we had had in the past that helped us through some other things was not working in this new season of our life. We encountered a shift in our family that was brutal on us as a couple, emotionally, mentally, even physically. It was hard, the hardest thing we've ever gone through. And something happened in this terrible part of our lives that brought a challenge to us, an opposition that was against our marriage, that I learned something so very powerful. And I came to my husband one day, and I asked him if he'd be willing to start on a journey with me so that we would overcome these issues that we had. You see, I was the wife, and I had someone in my life that actually encouraged this belief. And so when I would share with this individual something that had happened, The individual would say, well, Danny, you were provoked. Of course that's how you responded. You were provoked, which condoned my sin. It condoned my sin. Because love is not provoked. It is not easily angered. And do you know that I've, as a minister, you know, that I do weddings, I've read this passage so many times for years. And it wasn't until I looked at it this one day and the Spirit of the living God halted right there that love is not provoked. And being provoked was a major weakness in my life. How many of you want to rise up in your career, your calling? You want to do great things in your life? If you are easily angered, you can kiss that desire goodbye. You cannot reach high levels of leadership if you are easily angered by other people. You can't manage people if you are easily provoked by others. So for years, I was under this deception that my actions were justified because I was provoked. But see, I was the kid that was also provoked, and I was provoking. My sisters would provoke me, so I punched them in the mouth. Guys at school would provoke me, so I punched them in the mouth. I was the girl that my anger came out of my fists. Until I learned how to use my tongue. Then my anger came out of my fists and my tongue. It's a really bad combination for being married, isn't it? It's a very dangerous one. And it was. So that one day I got hit over the head, stupid, with like a metal 2x4 that says love is not provoked. And I went, I'm in sin. That if I am responding in anger to something that somebody said, I am walking in my flesh and the wickedness of my own ways. But if I'm walking in the Spirit of the living God, love is not provoked. And it keeps no records of wrong. So my husband and I, during this season, were provoking each other, and one of us had a real problem with records of wrongs. Loved to hurl insults of records of wrongs, which was provoking. And because we were told by somebody that, well, you were provoked. Of course that's your response. So it justified our sin. It kept this vicious circle going of records of wrongs provoking, records of wrong provoking, records of wrong provoking, as well as a bunch of self-righteousness. Well, at least I don't keep any records of wrong. All kinds of self-righteousness. And stop provoking me. So not only did I get hit upside the head ugly with that 1 Corinthians 13 passage that I've read, you know, maybe, I don't know, 500 times, but let me give you some other ones that slapped me across the face. You ready? You could just pull your own belt off your own waist and begin to beat yourself. Because some of you need a spanking like I did. So here's my spanking from 2 years ago. Proverbs 14:29, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Let's preface that. But he who is quick-tempered is an idiot. That's my version. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man or, come on, a hot-tempered man or, whoa, man. Stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who can capture a city. Wow. Think about that. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And stronger, better than he who rules his own spirit. Did you hear me? He who rules his own spirit. How many of you could use some of that? He who rules his own spirit is better than one who can capture an entire city. Proverbs 19:11, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Oh, maybe you don't understand what that says. It's a man's discretion that makes him slow to anger. Why? Because a humble woman or a humble man knows that they are just as filthy as the one they're about to judge. So it's a man, it's your own discretion to overlook a transgression. And it's your own glory. Sorry, it's your own glory to overlook the transgression. But it's your own discretion that you know, given the same set of circumstances, you probably would have been the same idiot that that person was. So you know, given the same set of circumstances, you would have screwed up. So it is your own, it's your own discretion that makes you slow to anger. Oh boy, does managers need that one. Oh boy, do mom and dads need that one. Oh boy, do husbands and wives need that one. Oh Lord, have mercy. If you are leading a team of people, you need this one. That it is your own discretion that makes you slow to anger. And that it is your glory. It is your glory to overlook a transgression. It's your glory to say, you know, I saw that. But I'm going to have grace right here. I am not going to retaliate. I am not going to point out the record of wrong. I'm going to choose to love instead. Proverbs 12:16, a fool's anger is known at once. A fool's anger is known at once. But a prudent man conceals dishonor. A fool's anger is known at once. Why? How is a fool's anger known at once? They have no self-control. Absolutely no self-control. They pop off their mouth or drive their fist through somebody or wave with one finger on the freeway or chew out the flight attendant or give some major dirty looks and make some rude comments to TSA. Or to that customer service rep that just told you no. Whew. Ouch. A fool's anger is known at once. But a prudent man conceals dishonor, refuses to dishonor the other person. That was a beating. Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks rashly. Listen. Like the thrust of a sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Is there anybody here that leads people? You might want to do what I've done, and that is print out every single one of those passages I've just read to you. These are in my bathroom, posted like wallpaper. The wallpaper in my bathroom is this. Every day, I sit down to do my business, and these are eye level, right? In front of me, on the back of a door that leads into the bathroom closet. There it is. Got it? Right there. There it is. Every day. Every day. Just staring me in the face, big, bold, and black as I go through the list. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly, is an idiot. I'm not done. Proverbs 12:15. The way of the fool. Oh, get ready. Just get ready. You might want to say ouch first. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Listens to counsel. That means doesn't just go moan and complain about their husband, moan and complain about their wife, moan and complain about their kids, moan and complain about their staff, moan and complain about their boss. No, it says, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. I've been a fool so much in my life. I don't want to cross this mountain again and again and again. Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Love keeps no records of wrong suffered. Oftentimes, that we can have a very skewed version of a wrong suffered. We can have a false perception of the wrong that was done. We can also assume a wrong suffered. We can assume that someone offended us when they actually didn't offend us. We can actually judge a wrong suffered, which makes it worse. We can blame, scream, retaliate, remind others of their wrongs that we perceive that they committed against us. All these actions create even more powerful opposition. That creates much more powerful opposition. Choose love because love never fails. Love never fails. So choose to love the staff. Choose to love the spouse. Choose to love the kids. Choose love as a weapon against the opposition, and you will have less opposition. Weapon number three, encourage. Hebrews 3:13. Encouragement is a powerful weapon against opposition. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are also doing. When my husband and I were going through this crap swirl, because that's what it was. Okay, it was a crap swirl. It was a toilet bowl with in it. You know what I'm saying? Just it's just a swirl. We were not equipped with the right strategies or the skills to walk through it. And we had to change our strategy. And we knew, both of us knew separately, that we lacked skills to get us through this season. And we went to find wise counsel to give us that skill, to teach us what we needed to be taught. And I had 7 people in my life during this season that were prayer partners, that were wise people, that I had walking with me and holding me accountable in my specific weaknesses. Because in that pruning season, it's very important to discover what your weaknesses are and what your fault is in the action. And to take personal responsibility for your part. And my personal responsibility was I was not loving. I was being provoked, and I chose to be provoked. It was my choice, and I was not choosing self-control. So when I met with my husband, this is back in October, to talk about this, I told him, I said, this is not working, and I'm going to ask that you would be open-minded about doing something with me. I would like for us to do what the Bible says. The Bible says to encourage. The Bible says to be kind. The Bible says that love is not provoked. And I have failed you because I've chosen to be provoked. And I've not loved you righteously because I've chosen to be provoked. I said, so I am going to choose not to be provoked. I'm going to choose to be kind. I'm going to choose to encourage. I'm going to choose to edify. And I would like it if you and I were to make an agreement that when we screw up, that we hit a reset button, and the reset button is keeping no records of wrongs, clean slate, encourage, be kind, love, and edify, and build up. Would you agree to do this with me? And would you agree also for us to keep a calendar, which is, weapon number five. Weapon number four is to be kind. So, kind, I looked up some passages about being kind. So I said, would you agree to have a calendar in our bathroom and that every day that we are kind, encouraging, edifying with each other, and every day we choose to be slow to anger, it is our own discretion and our own glory to overlook a transgression. Every day that we choose to do that, we put an X in that day. Whenever we totally have an epic fail, we have a squiggly line at the time of the day in which we screwed that sucker up. Would you be willing to do this with me? He says, yes, I believe it's from the Lord. That was October 25th, 2014. So here are these passages. I already had them in my bathroom about being slow to anger, okay? So here's what I did. I printed out the two passages I just gave you on encouragement, okay? And they're right next to a calendar. These two passages are also next to the calendar, and it says this, 2 Samuel 22:26. With the kind, you show yourself kind. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless. So that's my choice. Either I'm going to be kind no matter how somebody else is acting. I'm going to choose kindness. Because if I choose kindness no matter how somebody else is acting, guess what? God will be kind to me because I am being kind to someone else. So his kindness will come towards me in delivering me from being provoked from this idiot. And the idiot is me. Is that someone's phone? I'm so sorry to tell you, but here at Destiny Global, when your phone rings in the middle of a session, you owe $100 to feed an orphan. Just so you know. Pay up, sucker. Anyway. Okay, so Proverbs 22, 26. So again, so to the blameless, you show yourself blameless. And so that's 2 Samuel 22, 26. So to the blameless, you show yourself blameless. So here, if I am going to be kind, then I'm walking in being blameless. And if I choose to be blameless, if I choose not to sin against my husband, sin against myself and everybody else that's watching, then I'm going to be walking in blameless. So to the blameless, he shows himself to be blameless. I want him to be kind, and I want him to be blameless. Understood? So the second one that I had printed out, these are all in my bathroom, by the way. It kind of, how many of you have seen the movie Beautiful Mind? Yeah. That's what my bathroom looks like. It is. That's what my bathroom looks like. There's people in here who've been in my bathroom. They can tell you. That's what my bathroom looks like. The toilet room looks like the Beautiful Mind guy, where he had all these papers all put all over the place. That's what my bathroom looks like. It's all scriptures. So Galatians 5:22-25 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, come on, you know this from Sunday school if you went there, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. No, I don't want to do that. Gentleness. Why? It's a waste of time. Self-control. Oh, man, forget it. Against such things, there is no law. So here was me. Like, I suck at being provoked. I suck at it. I'm just like a schoolgirl on the third grade playground. That little freaking bully brat boy who made fun of me or tackled me or told me I couldn't play some sport. I'll go beat him up. Yes, I was that girl. And I was bullied. I was chased home by two tall chicks that were two grades ahead of me. Freaking hated them. I had to hide under a bush because I was so afraid of them. But I would go home and bully my sisters. So I'm acting like a third grader, man. 45 years old. I'm going, what? I still do not have a handle on this? This is stupid. This is immature. This is ridiculous. It's time to grow up. I'm looking in the mirror. Grow the heck up, honey. Quit acting like a third grader when somebody says something that you don't like. But it hurts. Shut up. Being hurt is a choice. Receiving the words is a choice. Getting my feelings hurt is a choice. Getting offended is a choice. It's all my own choice. And when the heck am I going to grow up and go, people have feelings, people have opinions. That's their problem. It don't have to be my problem. Now, I can do that with y'all, but when it came to my husband, it was a different story. Do you understand? Came from one of my kids, different story. I have all the patience in the world for you. Now, I'm going to love you if you tell me you hate me. I love you anyway. I love you. I love you. My husband and one of my sons, like, what did you say? What did you say? What did you just say to me? Don't you know who I am? Manifesting like a principality of darkness, friend. Telling you the truth. You're like, dang, Danny, your marriage is jacked up. No, I am jacked up. You know where I come from? Come on now. For me to just walk in and be just a wonderful, precious wife who just all had all this patience and self-control and no baggage, what are you smoking? I know, you never get to hear things like this. That's why I'm talking about it. Because I'm telling the truth. This is real life. This is real stinking life, okay? So number four weapon is choose to be kind. Oh my gosh, you know what the Bible says about being kind? It's like heaping hot coals over your enemy's head. Ha, 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 some more. Come on, that's where the saying, kill them with kindness, came from. That's a Bible verse. Being kind to someone who's evil to you is heaping hot coals on their head. So kindness is a weapon. It's a powerful one. Gets to a point where, guess what? He'll be kind to you because you were kind. It's heaping hot coals on the head of the person that's gossiping behind your back or provoking you or, you know, assaulting your character or making assumptions and making decisions on assumptions. Okay, weapon number five is to track your progress. Track your progress. Thank you, Mona. Even if everyone else thinks this sucks, I know you think it's good. Okay. Listen, track your progress. We created a calendar. That calendar, as I said, started October, and I've got some amazing news for you. This is what is so profound. You see, in that season, I thought we fought all the time. But guess what I found out? We didn't. That whole thing in our head, we just fight all the time. It's a total exaggeration. It's a complete lie. So here we have the first day of the calendar. We did good, honey. High five.
Yes, yes, yes.
The next day, epic fail. For 2 solid hours, we had an epic fail. And we just like, I went one direction, he goes another direction. I almost slept in my car that night. Yeah. Why? Because I'm a seventh grader. In the area of being provoked. And I made the decision, I'm not going to be provoked anymore. It's better for a wife to walk 8 miles going home than it is for her to speak wicked or to do something stupid to her husband. And so that was my choice. I choose not to sin against myself or to sin against my husband. If I'm going to dishonor, I'm taking a walk. I'm out of here. I walked for 8 miles. Anyway, in the dark with sandals on. In Texas. With gladiator, no heels, gladiator flat sandals on. Sweat in my feet, dirt everywhere, almost ruined my sandals. Who's ever taken a walk before? See, look at you. You're all like, I can't believe she's saying this. Well, maybe you ought to talk about it too, fool. Get yourself out of bondage and tell the darn truth. So anyway, so that night, it was a 2-hour epic fail because we could not reset. We're so mad at each other, but at least we left so that we were not acting like two cats, because this is what that looks like. How many have ever done this with somebody before? Okay. So it was a 2-hour epic fail. So then in that calendar that day, we put the 2-hour, and it just said, we drew a line, epic EF, epic fail. Is what it said right here, okay? So then the next day was a good day, and 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 the next day was a good day. See, I put one line, he does one line. Every day, one line, calendar's in the bathroom. Every day we'd put the line to the line. Sometimes we forget, okay? But, you know, when we have an epic fail, we certainly don't forget. So we just kept going, going, going. So here it was. It was like, oh, my gosh, it's been 30 days. We haven't had a single moment of strife. We haven't had a single moment of frustration with each other. There hasn't been a single moment where we had actually used self-control either. Smooth. And my husband goes, uh-oh, get ready. Something must be coming. I'm like, shut up. Don't say that. Sure enough, the next day, squiggly line. And what was the squiggly? 10 minutes. It was a 10-minute squiggly line. It wasn't all day. It wasn't for 2 hours. It was a 10 little meep, meep, just a little bleep. So we start tracking the bleeps. There's not that many bleeps. So then guess what? Next day, good. Next day, good. 30 days, bam. Honey, it's been 30 days. He's like, get ready. Hans, stop it. Sure enough, next day, meep. So then next month, same thing. So then I started going, wait a second, it's only once a month this happens. So right away I'm like, oh, caca. Oh, my gosh. Is it me? Oh, my gosh. Once a month. So I have this thing called a cycle tracker that tracks my cycle perfectly for several reasons. Because there's certain O days that are awesome days. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. But we track it for that reason, not for the other. Uh-huh. Anyway, he had to snip, snip 16 years ago. So that's free game, man. Anyway, so, oh, some people are red. Anyhow, mommy, what is he talking about? Nothing, honey, nothing. Okay, so I have this tracker, okay? And the tracker, so right away, I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's every month. This happens every month. Well, then turned out, so I look at the thing, and I'm like, whew, it had nothing to do with my cycle. And it had nothing to do with PMS part of the cycle. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going crazy. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so then Hans the next month does it again. He's like, he's the one who goes, wow, honey, gosh, it's been like 29 days. Uh-oh, I said, don't let that out of your mouth. Please stop speaking the fight into existence. Please stop speaking the strife into existence. Let's just ignore that it's been 30 days. So check it out. I've just had the most amazing miracle happen. We have gone, as of today, 138 days without a single moment of strife, not a single moment of an argument, not a single ounce of frustration, not a single ram's horn coming together, not a single disagreement, nothing. That is almost 5 whole months. 5 months. Now check this out. This is the best part of the story. We have had some crazy bombs drop in our life in those 5 months that normally would have had us sleeping in separate places. But we managed to be kind, considerate, compassionate, gentle, encouraging, and edifying during the bombs that exploded over the last 5 months. So what normally would have caused a tremendous amount of stress in my husband, that when he did have stress, I did not strive. And that when I was having my moment, he did not strive. But we chose, through the practice of the word of the living God, to be kind, to be blameless, to encourage, to edify, to lift up, to be slow to anger, to be wise. So I'm here to tell you, and to study the scriptures, to walk by the Spirit. It's both of our daily prayer. That, Lord, we cannot do it on our own, in our own flesh. In my flesh, I'm easily provoked. So yesterday, you know, I told you, I had a moment with one of my sons. And sure enough, he got my goat. And got my goat. I'm going to start a new calendar. And both of us said this. My husband and I both said this to each other. He goes, we've been in tears. We literally been in tears because there has been a rest that has entered our soul. There's a trust that has been built. So you might be saying, okay, well, Danny, I don't have those problems. Yes, you do, fool. You have them with your employees. You might need to start a calendar with how you treat your staff. You might need to start a calendar with how you treat your customers. Some of you argue with your customers. That's why you're broke. So maybe you need a calendar that doesn't do that. Or maybe some of you need a calendar because your fear of rejection, or whether it's procrastination. Every day that you don't procrastinate, what do you get? You get an X in the box. Do you understand? Every day that you take action, every day that you chose to believe, every day that you chose to trust, it's an X in the box. Whatever weakness that you have that you know that is stopping you from your next promotion, whatever that weakness is, you create a calendar. Because it's a character weakness, and character weaknesses are unacceptable. Do you hear me? They're unacceptable. You can't just accept the character weakness and go, that's just how I am. Really? Well, then say hello to divorce. Say hello to wayward kids. Say hello to being broke. Because you cannot accept character weaknesses. You can work those out, because we are to iron out our salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. And if you say you know him, but you don't have the fruit of him in your life, you don't know squat. That's not what I really wanted to say, but I had self-control. So what will represent your X in the box? Is it a relationship with the customers? Is it a relationship you have with your business? Is it a relationship you have with your finances? Is it a relationship you have with your coworkers? Is it bad habits? Okay? There's some of you that can benefit. You're trying to get free from pornography. I have somebody in my staff that has gone 11 months free, completely free from pornography. It has battled this individual for most of her life. And she started this calendar. She's the one that tipped me off in the calendar. She'd send me these pictures of her calendar. 30 days. It's been 45 days. It's been 100 days. Oh my gosh, it's been 120 days. Oh my gosh, it's been 150 days. Oh my gosh, it's been. We're almost at 365 days with this calendar for her. One day at a time. And has there been struggles in those days? Yes, but she's chosen, because let me tell you what's happening to Hans and I now. Now, we want to protect the calendar. We do. Now we want to protect the calendar. I do not want to see a squiggly line on that darn calendar. I know eventually it's probably going to happen, because come on, give me a break. We're human. We're married. We live together. We have kids. We have life. Things happen. People wake up in a bad mood once in a while. We're not always on our game, but we have been on our game for this amount of months, and it's totally shocking. But here's the bottom line. This is beautiful. Now the calendar is a whole nother level of accountability. Because, and here's what it is, I have found the boundary line. I have found the line that says, don't go there. And what's the line? It's the slash that I have to draw across that day for that calendar on that day. It's, I don't want a squiggly line. So when I get close, it's like this past week, we had a couple little, like, moments where I'm like, ooh, hi, I love you. Encourage, edify. I'm not kidding you, because I go, I'm getting close to that place. I'm getting close to the heat. Do you know how much growth that is for me personally? Yes. That I am actually seeing ahead instead of, how did I do that? How did I do that again? How did I get there again? Do you understand? Because that's how it was. In this one area, it's like, I keep screwing that up. Well, those scriptures and me focusing on that thing, why? That's my weakness. That's a character weakness that I can be provoked by my husband. That's my problem. That's my fault. That's not his fault. That's my sickness. As of 138 days, it's a was. It's a was. It's a was. It's a was. It's a was with him. But what happened on Friday? I'm not happy. With my response was with my son. I am not happy with myself. So it's like, I got business to take care of. So what do I have to do? I'm really sorry. Please forgive me. I was wrong. My response was absolutely wrong. Doesn't matter if it was justified, founded, or anything. I was wrong. Period. And will you please forgive me? And I'll do whatever it takes to make it right. That disarms dissension. That disarms opposition. That's taking personal responsibility. That is surrendering your ego. Not justifying, not blaming, not pointing the finger,
not deflecting. Well, you shouldn't have said and you shouldn't have done. No, that's all deflecting. And none of that stuff brings healing. The only thing that disarms that opposition is taking responsibility, surrender in your ego, walking in humility. Makes sense. So I'm here to tell you that I'm no longer that girl that I was in the third grade that I took my anger out with my fists. I haven't been that girl for a really long time. I'm no longer that girl that freaks out with a huge earthquake size of a reaction when something bad happens. Thank God, because that used to be me. The first millionaire I had the chance to work with, he used to say this to me. Danny, chill out. Rome wasn't built in a day. Learn to act instead of react. Learn to act instead of react. And I used to go, why does he say that to me all the time? I don't get it. Earlier, if you were here with us this morning, I told you about JP, the man that introduced me to business, right? He's told stories in front of the room that when he met me when I was 19, he used to hold a pillow so I could punch it. I'm not that girl anymore. I'm not that girl anymore. I haven't been that girl for a really long time. In fact, I almost can't remember her. That if he did not remind me of that person that I once was, I probably wouldn't believe it. Because I'm so a non-violent person. That's not who I am. So I'm here to tell you that whatever your character weakness is, it's time to stop running from it. It's time to stop hiding it. It's time to expose it. It's time to surrender it to the Lord and come clean and come out of the darkness. Bring it into the light so that he can put his spirit upon you and bring you out of the captivity so that you can get free. And it's a co-laboring with him. It's not a zap, you're done. It is a day-by-day choice to walk blameless, to walk in righteousness. It's a day-by-day choice. Some of you, your calendar is maybe not your actions with your mouth, but it's what you put in your mouth. Wherever it is that you lack self-control, you'll lack self-control in other areas as well. Are you hearing me? That if you have this little place over here where you lack self-control, that little place will bleed into other places where you lack self-control. Isn't it true? Yeah. Self-control has no, I mean, a lack of self-control has no boundaries. So it starts over here with this little thing. I can play with this little thing. It's not going to affect this over here. That's the liar about temptation. That's a lie. No. The guy who cheats a little, yeah, cheats all over the place eventually, and then cheats much everywhere. Some of you need to shore up your lies. Some of you have a lying tongue, and you know who you are. And a lying tongue is going to hurt you. They're just little white lies. They're just little exaggerations. No, they're not. They're going to bleed into other places, and they will catch up to you. So if telling the truth is one, is it a better work ethic? You know what your character weakness is, and it can be changed. If you choose to come into the light, humble yourself, take personal responsibility, and say, I'm done. We're going to beat this thing. God, I'm going to co-labor with you. I surrender to you. I need your Holy Spirit. I need you to walk with me on this. And I'm going to focus right here. How many of you have some things that you need to overcome? How many of you discovered tonight that you are the one that causes much of your opposition in your life? Sucks, doesn't it? It's awesome because you can change it. It's awesome because you can actually change it. You can determine how much more opposition you get or where you stop it. Where you stop creating more and you start building and strengthening and devour the devourer as you use these five weapons against opposition. Close your eyes. Issa, if you can come up.
I don't want to assume anything here tonight, but I know that there are some of you that you have never surrendered your life to God. You have never given your whole self over to Him. You've never humbled yourself before Him. I'm not talking about, oh, I'm in big trouble, so God, I need you now. I'm not talking about that kind of surrender. I'm not talking about a convenient surrender of a small portion of your life. I'm talking about a full surrender, a full giving over your life fully to Him and everything that your life is. Friend, I hope you learned today you cannot do it on your own. This opposition is in your life to bring you to a place of humility. Every one of those weapons I shared with you was a weapon of humility, isn't it true? Taking responsibility, love, encouragement, choosing to be kind, and tracking your progress. All five of those things require humility. The Word of God says, humble yourselves before God. And in the right time, He will exalt you. The only way to be is exalted. A true exaltation is to be humble. He's the lifter of your face. He wants to co-labor with you. He wants you to walk with Him. He wants you to get to know Him as a father with their child. He desires to be really close to you. He planted desires inside of your heart. And He desires to give you those desires He's planted in your heart. But His desire is that you walk with Him, that you talk with Him. That you say, Daddy, I need help. I can't do this on my own. He's picked you. He's chosen you. He's been training you all day today. He's going to train you tomorrow, and He's going to train you the next day. He's a good, good father. He's a good, good father. Won't you surrender your life to Him? All the wisdom you heard tonight was not mine. It's His. And it works. And it works every time. His word never fails. His love never fails. He already knows your weaknesses. He sees all that you do, the good, bad, and the ugly. And He still loves you. He still adores you. He loves you right where you're at, just as you are. Would you be willing to surrender this religious picture that's been painted for you? But instead, be the child. Let Him be the father. Allow yourself to be adored by Him. He's rich in mercy, slow to anger, gracious and compassionate. And He offers His mercy to you tonight for your turning from the ways where you're creating opposition for yourself. He's given you a chance, an invitation to say, my child, you don't have to fuss with that anymore. Come with me. Come with me. I'll help you. I will guide you. I will show you the way. With all your eyes closed, I have a question. Is there anybody here that wants to know Him? Is there anybody here that wants to walk with Him? Is there anybody here that wants to surrender their entire life over to Him? Raise your hands if that's you.
there anybody here tired of trying to do it on your own? And is there anybody here that has some of that hidden stuff that you don't want anyone to know about, that you think is not affecting your life, but you found out tonight it is affecting your life? Is there anybody here that's going to be willing to walk away from it and fully surrender? If that's you, and if this is your first time or your second time, I don't care how many times, but I've had to come to my Savior many times because my nature is really wicked. So if you're ready to do that, you're ready to make that surrender, then just get up out of your seat and please come up here so we can pray with you. Customized message he made for us, right? Squeeze in because there's still more coming. Squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. So it's a really simple thing. You see, mercy and grace and the compassion of the Lord is for repentance. He's such a good dad that he invites us to turn from our ways. But if we choose not to turn, he lets us keep going. He lets us keep going. He lets us keep going. Until our consequences beat the snot out of us. It's not God spanking you. It's your own consequences of your own actions, of your own decisions, of your own ways, your own responses, because you even learned tonight that love is not provoked. How many of you react rather easily? How many of you know that's a hindrance to your next promotion? You can't get promoted if you can't be trusted with patience and endurance. The same patience that God's had for you. How many of you say that God's had a lot of patience for you? I know he's had for me. I probably would have been an abusive parent if I was God. Because I don't have the patience he has. But I'll tell you what, when I surrender my spirit to him and I ask him daily to fill me, God, with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your ways because I'm lost without you. I know what my tendency is and I know what my weaknesses are. And it's only by your spirit can I succeed because I'm a weak suck. That's a really good place to be, is to know what you're not capable of on your own. It's the opposite of what's being taught up there about success. But this is the truth, that true surrender and humility brings you to freedom. Daily, you have to surrender. Daily, you have to give your life over to him. Daily, you have to confess, I can't do it. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your spirit. And he will. So this is a simple prayer. A really simple place. Close your eyes if you want to. You don't have to if you don't want to. But you simply say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I hear you. And I heard what you're talking about. Thank you for loving me. I choose tonight to surrender my life fully to you. I surrender all that I am, all that I have, the talent that you've put in me, that I've thought higher of than I should have. I surrender it to you. All the money that's in my account, I surrender it to you. My career, my abilities, I surrender it to you. It's yours. Do what you want with it. Because I'm done striving. I'm done being in pressure. And I'm ready to be your child. I'm sorry for everything that I've done. Please forgive me for the people I've hurt. Please forgive me for the words I've spoken against people, even against you. Forgive me for the judgment that I've had inside of my heart. Forgive me for being rude, impatient, godless. Forgive me for all the people I've not been kind to. Forgive me for the bitterness that I've harbored against others, the resentment that I've even had towards myself. I release that. I renounce judgment, hatred, malice. I renounce jealousy. I renounce pride and ego. I renounce rudeness. And I renounce being easily angered, provoked, and I renounce keeping records of wrong. All of that is evil, and I do not want any part of it in my life. Father, I confess with my mouth that you sent your Son, your only begotten Son, that you planted inside of a virgin. Her name was Mary. You brought forth this Son to be the Savior of the world. That he would give up and surrender his life. He was sinless. Never lied, cheated, stole, didn't gossip. He committed no sin against any man, against himself, or against you. He was perfect in every way. And he laid down his life as a sacrifice for my sin, for my mistakes. That he would cover me, wash me clean. I believe that he did this for me. He died on the cross 2,000 years ago. He then rose from the dead on the third day. He proved his deity, proved that he was God for 40 days with holes in his hands and in his feet as he was crucified for my sin, for my wickedness, for the evil that was in me. He died and he rose. And after 40 days, he ascended to you, Father, and he sits to your right hand, praying for me right now, for this moment. I thank you for that sacrifice that was made for me. I thank you for your love to wash me clean of all of my past, all of my filth, all of my wickedness that I've committed against myself. I receive that forgiveness into my body right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God.
You're a good God. Say, I am yours. And you are mine. Forgive me, God, for all the opposition that I've created. And forgive me for not realizing what season I'm in and the pace that you have for me. Forgive me for denying my partnership with you. I want to be in partnership with you. I want to co-labor with you. Lead me. Guide me. Direct me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord God. Oh, man. Such a good father. You're such a good father. There's no one like you. I'm going to pray for you right now, so just stay there, Father. Right now, I take authority over this room, and Lord, you've given me authority with these precious people that I love so much. Yes. So in the name of Yeshua, which is Jesus the Christ, I come against the spirit of opposition. I come against the spirit of poverty. I come against the father of lies. You are such a liar and you have no place in these people. Father of lies, we renounce you. We rebuke you. We paralyze your mouth. Go back to hell. Go back to the pit where you belong. That is your destiny. These people are not your destiny. Hell was created for you, Satan, father of lies. Hell was not created for these people. Lord, I pray right now that there's a reset on every mind that is standing here before me. Every mind, that there is a perfect reset, Lord God. You said that we would have the mind of Christ. So, Lord, let them receive the mind of Christ right this minute, that they're able to glean from your perfect wisdom, lay hands. They would glean from your perfect wisdom. Fill them, Lord God. In fact, I want you to ask this right now. Say, Spirit of the living God, fill me now. I want your Holy Spirit inside of me. Yes, I receive it right now in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord God. Yes. Father, I pray in the name of your Son, in the merit of your Son, that you fill your people, that they are overflowing with your Spirit, that they are overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit. Say right now, fill me with the fruit of the Holy Spirit and cut off my flesh. Give me a desire to walk in your Spirit instead of walking in the flesh. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mona, keep going. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Say, heal me. Restore me. Redeem me. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you're such a good God. Such a good Father. There's no one like you. There's no one like you. Did we lose the monitor? Thank you, Lord. 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 Yes. Yes. Some of you have been playing with fire. Who here's been playing with fire? You know who you are. It's time to surrender. Okay, say this right now. Say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke rebellion, witchcraft, and insubordination. Yes. Stay right there. Right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, I come against the spirit of witchcraft. I come against the spirit of rebellion and insubordination. We rebuke you right now. We break your ties. We break the legal contract. We break every single legal right that you have had against these people with insubordination. Anyone that's playing with fire, coming near the fire that isn't supposed to be anywhere near the fire. Anybody that is walking the tread line, they're not, they know they're walking in sin. Father, we break that curse right now in Jesus' name. We break every single curse off of every single family member that is represented here. Every single family member right now in the name of Yeshua. Yes, broken. I break off poverty, poverty thinking, a poverty mind, poverty habits. It's broken right now in Jesus' name. I also break off the spirit of idolatry. Yes, right now I break off the spirit of idolatry off of all of these people. Yes, idolatry creates opposition. Opposition, you're nothing but a liar. Opposition, you're a liar, and we come against you. Yes. Idolatry, you're nothing but a liar. Yes. I speak healing from head to toe. Healing of a wounded spirit. Yes. Thank you, Lord. I break death off. Death off. I break death off. Yes, I break abortion off. Aborting a dream, aborting a vision, aborting a passion. I break all that spirit of premature death off right now in Jesus' name. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Lord, I love this one so much. Yeah, I love this one. Yeah. God, I pray you draw him into a super close, intimate relationship with you. That you hear so, yourself so real to him. So evident, God. Use him in a mighty way. Use him in a powerful way, Lord. I bless his mouth to speak truth. Father, fill him with your self-control. Yes, Father, overcomer, 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 overcomer. Yes. I break all ties, every tie from the past broken. I speak healing and truth and peace. Yes. Goodness. Father, I thank you for the good things you've done already. But God, I ask for miraculous things to come forward. Answer the desires of his heart, God. Let him walk. Let him walk in your freedom, God. Strengthen and encourage, edify and build him up, God. Show him the way, Lord. Be the father that he did not have. Yes. Be the father. Yes, Lord God. Use him, Father, to bring truth into his family. Let it be a shock what you do in his life. Let it be a shock. Where's that list, Mona? Oh, man, what a good night. Can I get Elena McCracken, Alyssa and Vlad, Brian and Kristen Niederhaus, Joseph and Lori Heisinger, Ray Ray, Mary, Mikey Almeida, Jackie O'Quinn, Candace Thompson, Carlos and Chantel Campos, Mia Gray, Linda Potgeter, Laura Phillips, Tim and Laura Peffer, Shane Houston, and Andres Lanka. Y'all can come up here with me for a minute, please.
there are some of you that you're in a place where you need personal prayer. You need somebody to agree with you about something that either needs to be broken off your life, something you're wrestling with, something you're struggling with. You need a healing in your body. You need deliverance from something. You need strengthened. You need specific wisdom. You got a specific thing that you are dealing with. And the Bible says that where two or more are gathered and agree on any one thing, then it is done. The Bible also says where two or more are gathered in His name, that He is here. There's not some super special holy person that's got some special spirit on them. It is the Holy Spirit that shows up when two people agree. When two people come together and say, hey, I'm struggling with this and I need help. Will you pray for me? Then the Holy Spirit is the one that makes it happen. These are people that have been here for a really long time. Years they've been serving as volunteers. Years they've been learning. They've studied. They've shown themselves approved. They have fruit in their life of growth. They have the fruit of Christ. Many of them even came forward tonight. Why? Because they're not done. None of us are done. Because they are continuing to press in into the Lord. Because they're continuing to allow themselves to be pruned. They're continuing to humble themselves before God. Each one of these people standing here before me have had miracles happen in their lives. Many of them were set free and delivered from all kinds of nasty, filthy habits. Many of them have paid off crazy amounts of debt, have had huge financial breakthroughs in their lives. They pray for you. They serve. They volunteer in this place. And they take care of the widow, the sick, the hungry, and the poor. I can't think of a better group of people to bring to you to pray for you individually. So if you need individual prayer, each one of these people have been equipped. By everything that we do here, you can go to them. And you can say, I'm struggling. If it's pornography, man, I struggle with pornography. I'm struggling with masturbation. I am struggling with gambling. Or, man, I struggle with gossip. I don't trust God, and I really want to trust God. Yeah, I have a spending problem. It doesn't matter whatever problem it is that you're facing. It doesn't matter. Humble yourself. Bring it into the light. Because where two or more are gathered, He's here. And He will make it happen. They have enough faith for the both of you. Because they've seen God. How many of you have seen God work miracles in your life? They believe for miracles for your life. They're gifted. So, if you want prayer, just go up to any one of them. There's not some super super special one. None of us are. It's the same Holy Spirit that's in each one of us. Okay? But they're available. So there's two sets of steps. There's a step there, there's a step there. So, you know, those of you in that area, you just find one of these people and let them pray for you. You use these people. You here, you use these people. Don't wait in a line for, you know, one of the same person. Just go to the next person that's available. And I will see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Go forward and get it.